Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
When the world as we know it ground to a halt back in March of this year, people turned to the arts for distraction, entertainment and inspiration. With matches on hold, space formerly occupied by sports commentary and analysis on our airwaves was promptly replaced by music. For many, this provided hours of escapism from the wearying news cycle of coronavirus stories. I'm joined now by Hilary Moss, course director of the MA in Music Therapy at the Music Therapy, you heard me correctly, at the Irish World Academy of Music and Dance at the University of Limerick, and the music broadcaster with RTE Gold, Rick O'Shea. Good morning to both of you. Hilary, first off, I'm not too sure about this whole idea of music as therapy, because one man's BAM is another man's Uptown Girl by Westlife.
You're absolutely right. I would never prescribe music for somebody. What I would always say is we can use music to help people reach goals that they want to achieve, and it's always, all the research indicates that your preferred music is what will work for you. So if I'm working with someone with dementia who is anxious, the music that they find relaxing will help them to relax and be less anxious, but if I play the wrong music, it certainly won't. Similarly, you know, I could play you some music to try and lift your atmosphere at home if you're all getting fed up with each other in the kitchen. But actually, by choosing what will work for you as a family, that will change the dynamic, lift the atmosphere, have you all dancing. But I could never prescribe to you which music that would be.
To what extent does music as therapy happen ordinarily and every day anyway, in terms of piped music in dentists' offices and so on?
Well, music is used every day as a, I suppose, something that we find therapeutic. So we know dentists use music regularly to help people feel less anxious. We know on aeroplanes, if you can remember back to boarding a plane, you know, they'll always play quite peaceful, stable music to make sure that you feel reassured that everything's under control. We use music to exercise. It accompanies our love affairs. We use it to mourn at funerals. It's integral to our humanity, I think, and it's often seen as a little sort of nice, fun, recreational extra, which for many of us, it distracts us. But it can also be a noise pollution. So if you play the wrong kind of music when somebody's very stressed, it can actually increase their stress levels quite significantly.
Rick, when my colleagues are not going to thank me for saying this, but when us speech broadcasters were forced to shut up because there wasn't much to talk about, and we gave way and ceded the airways to you and your colleagues in RTE Gold, it was almost like a moment of national catharsis, wasn't it?
I'm thrilled that you said that, Philip. Thank you. It was
strange. I had my fingers crossed.
It was strange both, I think, for us and for everybody else, in that what happened, maybe if people didn't hear it, was at the very beginning of lockdown, because sport had essentially ceased everywhere around the world, on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, we ran a simulcast with RTE Gold, where I work and where my colleagues work, and on RTE Radio 1. And it had allowed us 4 hours on a Saturday, 4 hours on a Sunday, just to play music. And I think for a lot of people who were in the same situation I was in, certainly, where I had spent a lot of time in the months running up to that, being bombarded by Brexit for days and days and days, and then all of a sudden the global pandemic comes along and you feel like, I can't take any more of this. I normally, my listening is Morning Ireland, it's News at One, it's, I listen to some of Drive Time as well. I'm a news and current affairs listener, but I found myself going, I have to take a couple of steps back here. And music was the way to do it. So we did it for a lot of other people as well. The reaction that we got from people was just that, because people were locked down in their own homes as well. So they were, okay, I'm doing something in the back garden, I'm going to have a barbecue, or I'm going to, you know, I need something as a soundtrack to this that has a human being involved with it.
And would it be fair to say that people didn't want to be challenged with new music, that they wanted to reach for the old favourite comfort blankets?
Yeah, I think in exactly the same way as if you talk to people about what they've been watching over the space of the last 6 or 7 months, everybody I've spoken to has talked about re-watching old TV series that they love and things that they're familiar with. And the same goes for music. You want to be able to hear some, and again, possibly, maybe you're not the greatest lover of Uptown Girl by Westlife, and that's fair enough, but you do want to hear songs that you have a familiarity with, things that, and I'm not doing myself any favours here by suggesting that they will wash over you and that you will simply be just, you know, the jam that holds the sandwich together in the middle.
Let us take a listen to what is supposedly the most relaxing song in the world. This is Weightless by Marconi Union. Okay. Hillary, I have to say that's not working particularly well for me. What, from a scientific point of view, is there about that that works generally?
Yes, well, I too would be sceptical about any particular music working, but that music was designed specifically to reduce anxiety, blood pressure and heart rate. And in studies with people going into surgery, it was found to have a very effective sedative effect. So certain types of music can work as a sedative. We know with children, hearing live guitar music by a music therapist can have the same effect, and actually was used instead of medication to sedate children in New York. So, I mean, there are things that can happen to your body. We react on every level to music, and we react to music beyond brain damage. So one of our last reactions in the late stages of dementia or brain disease is being able to respond to music. And similarly, at the beginning of life, we respond to pitch in our parents' voices. Oh. That's one of the first things that happens. So music is, you know, it affects us emotionally, it affects us cognitively, it uses both sides of the brain. So,
but differently at different stages of your life, which would perhaps explain what I understand or gather is, and just wait for this now, the choice of music that your son uses to relax.
Yes, so I always use that as my example. So when you ask people what their most relaxing music is, we actually did a study of this when I was working at Tala Hospital. We had every genre of music mentioned. So my son loves listening to Eminem to relax. You know, he will choose very different music to me. And my daughter will listen to Lewis Capaldi. You know, we all listen to different music. We can't tell somebody that it'll help you relax if you listen to it, because
okay.
It does come down to what works for you.
How do you relax to this? Stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody, better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. See, the problem with that, Ricochet, is both you and I are nodding our head because it's got mm-hmm. the most insistent beat ever.
That's not a problem. That's a song we play on RTE Gold. I'm absolutely with Hillary when it comes to that you can't, you know, force feed music onto people. And in terms of, you know, that music that was played there, it made me think that I was about to go into a posh spa and have a nice massage. Remember when we were allowed to do those mm-hmm. kinds of things? I think that in terms of that kind of music, again, that depends on who the person is and what it is that they're into. I think there is, though, and it's maybe something we lose in this. People do move to playlists and they find themselves on things like Spotify. The role that human curation of music plays at times like this, I think, is really important, because we had so many people talking to us during the summer, essentially saying to us, it's nice to hear music that's been picked by a human. And we all know the broadcasters here on Radio 1 who all pick their own music, and they, you know, you buy into who those people are and into what those shows are because
you
like those
music. Even though your playlist might be identical to a Spotify playlist?
My playlist won't be identical to a Spotify playlist.
I'll challenge you now. I bet you I can find one.
If you find one, Philip, we can have a conversation about this online. I'd be perfectly happy to. But sometimes as well, the element of that is, and it's something that happened on Radio 1 when Gold was live there during the summer, was people ask for things that you would never expect otherwise. I think you've got a clip, actually, of one of the songs, Madison Time, that's in here.
Yeah,
let's
hear it.
If you have this.
Walk on, you're looking good. Well, now, if ever there was a song that was written or chosen with RTE Radio 1's listenership in mind, that has to be it.
It was one of our listeners on Gold, thank you, Steve-O, who suggested that song, and it appears in Hairspray in the John Waters film, and I'd forgotten about it forever. And it came in, and he kept asking for it every day, and we turned it into one of those little anthem things, because it's just relaxing, and it's fun, and it brings a little warm glow into your heart, and it's picked by a human. Admittedly, not me. It's picked by somebody else entirely who's managed to get that out to the nation.
Hillary, is there a reason that so many people say that they reach for Mozart as their go-to piece of relaxation, or is that just one of those kind of things that those of us with notions say?
I think it has some elements of music that are common to relaxing music. So what researchers have found is that you want a simple melody, you want a regular beat and harmony, something that won't surprise you, something relatively slow. They also recommend not knowing the music too well can be quite relaxing, because we have such emotional connotations with music. But I don't believe in the Mozart effect. I think that's very questionable. I think it does, again, depend on curating your own. And I completely agree with Rick. I think the one thing we can do by curating our own playlist is take back a little bit of control of our lives and our environment by curating our own playlist, choosing what we want to listen to, choosing what atmosphere we want in the house. It's very small, but it can make a huge difference.
What is the Mozart effect?
There was some research that showed that if you play Mozart, I believe it was to your baby, that it would improve them in many different ways. I tried that with my own babies, and I must say it just drove me to distraction because it was badly played Mozart. But I'm probably not doing the research justice. I just have.
Yes, because you'd have to have another baby that you didn't play Mozart to as a control, wouldn't you?
I didn't try that, in fairness to them.
Rick, what was the big lesson for you out of the way that people embraced gold?
For me personally, it was that wouldn't it be wonderful if RTE Gold had the ability to be listened to by so many more people? You know, RTE Radio 1 is the Manchester City or the Liverpool of this equation, and we are just the Bournemouth of the Premier League of radio stations here in RTE. We're just on digital. You can only find us on DAB and online. But having us on FM throughout the summer...
Enough. I've allowed you the plug. I'm talking about the choice of music. What did it do for the national psyche?
I like to think, but through the feedback that we got from people, and we got a lot of people writing long detailed emails over the course of the summer and afterwards, that people loved the idea of having somebody listening to them, which is important while music is being played, and that we felt like we were all in it together. There were certain things that brought us all together as a country throughout the course of the summer. I like to think those Saturday and Sunday afternoons on Radio 1 did it for a lot of people.
And as things get just a little bit more fractious, I think that's something that we could, a prescription that we could probably all reach for again. Rick O'Shea and Dr. Hilary Rose, thank you both very much for joining me with that this morning.